Titus in chapter 2. It's a great little book here in one of the letters of the Apostle Paul, the author being the Holy Spirit of God. Titus chapter 2. A great many practical instructions given right here in this book. And we're going to skip down here to verse number 11. Verse number 11. Now this is the scripture for this month that we're memorizing and meditating on, and I know that we went over it already, but let's look at what the scripture says once again. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we need you. We pray that you would work in our midst. Pray that the Holy Spirit would have liberty. Father, that you would speak through me, that you would bless your word, prosper your word, and help us to understand it clearly and simply, and help us to be obedient to it. Help our direction in this year to be one that pleases you in our lives, our endeavors, our homes, that we would advance to higher ground in terms of devotion and obedience and following your Holy Spirit's leadership. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your help to do this. Bless this time now, in Jesus' name. Amen. A season to press on. We have embarked on another year, 2022. Who would have ever thought? Here we are, still living, still breathing God's air, still on this earth, still in the present world. What does God want for us in such an advanced age? What does God have for us? Well, the timeless truths of his holy word give us clear direction. We could look at many passages, and they would communicate perhaps a few different aspects, but much to the same of what God's plan, what God's will for us is. We see that his grace, it says, has that brings salvation, hath appeared to all men. This is for everybody. As we just recall the announcement of the angelic host to the shepherds on that hillside on Bethlehem, that there was good tidings of great joy for all people because the Savior was born. The Savior for all men. And the Bible tells us here about the grace of God in verse 11, which brings salvation. I'll tell you what, God's grace has been bestowed that whosoever will may come. He's a Savior for all people, and I am so thankful for that. There's no wrong person you can witness to. Now granted, I understand some are more open than others, but some who have been so closed oftentimes have come because somebody witnessed to them, because somebody prayed for them. Some of the most hard-hearted, contrary people have been saved. In fact, the one God used to even pen this scripture was at one time in his life, for a good portion of his life, one of those kind of people who was extremely religious. He crossed all his T's, he dotted all his I's, and yet he was so contrary to the Savior himself. But that all changed one day when God got a hold of his heart. And he was used of God, the Apostle Paul. What a story, what a testimony that is. And so let's remember how God wants to use us in this world to share his grace, to be agents of his grace. I got 3 points this morning I'd like to share with you, and the title, A Season to Press On. Now this is part two. I had the similar title last week, but this is a little bit of different territory, different passage, and all those things. A Season to Press On. First of all, I want you to see that in this new year, we need to press on following Jesus. Press on following Jesus. It is Jesus we must follow. In 2022, we must give our attention to Jesus. First of all, by giving heed to his direction. Giving heed to his direction. Notice what it says here in verse number 12. It says, teaching us, that's the grace of God. Notice the grace of God doesn't teach us to be licentious. The grace of God doesn't teach us to be promiscuous. That's not what the grace of God ever teaches us. It doesn't ever give us license to live sinfully. God's goodness, his grace, his mercy never gives us license to live a ho-hum, scantily clad Christian life. No, it doesn't. God's grace calls us to holiness. It calls us away from the world. Notice what it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness, this is turning away, resisting ungodliness, and worldly lusts. Now, Christians can be enamored with worldly lusts. Even though we're saved, even though the Spirit of God lives in us, we are still very capable in our flesh of following the lusts of this world and being enamored with them. But the Bible says that's not what the grace of God teaches us. The grace of God, it teaches us, it instructs us to turn away from ungodliness, to turn away from the lusts of this world. This is what God's will is for your life. This is God's will for your 2022, for this year, that you would live for him, not for the world, that you would live to do his will, not the ungodliness of our society. So God calls us to turn away from the corruptions of this world, and middle of verse 12, that we should live soberly. Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, if we're going to be a Christian in this year, we cannot merely go with the flow of society. We cannot just merely follow the desires of our hearts. We must intentionally heed God's direction for us, which is away from the lusts of the world, and it is toward a sober mind. A sober mind. Now, there's a lot of people who condone, you know, drinking of alcohol, and I do not believe the Bible ever gives us any such license. It is a very foolish, unwise, and yes, sinful thing to do. When it speaks here about being sober, it's not just saying don't drink or don't have alcohol in your system, although that would do many people much good. But the fact of the matter is, to be sober-minded has the idea of having a sound mind, of really honestly and sincerely thinking through things and having a wholesome mind. God wants us to live with a wholesome mind. You know, if we're filling our mind with trash, if we're ingesting corruptions of this world, we are not going to have a sober mind. We're going to have a corrupted mind, a clouded vision. But my friend, if we meditate on the scriptures daily, if we give God our attention, if we with a whole heart desire to follow Jesus and renew our mind, as the scripture says in Romans 12, renewing our mind through the Word of God, we can have a sober mind. Notice that there. We should live soberly, soberly, thinking about life's choices. And so, first of all, giving heed to God's direction. Number two, or in the sub points, being serious. be serious-minded about life. This is God's call for us to be serious-minded about life. We are not to be this merely, yes, in the Christian life we should be happy, but it's not a happy-go-lucky, whatever, a ho-hum approach to life. We ought to make decisions prayerfully and seeking God honestly and sincerely. Be serious-minded about life. Notice also in verse 12, it tells us to live righteously and godly. Righteously and godly. We ought to live virtuously in private and in public. In private and in public. God's desire for us as Christians is not that we would put on an act for others. Not that we would just play the role of the good little Christian. God's desire is that we'd really cultivate a heart for Him. A heart of holiness. A heart of godliness. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the apostle communicates to us to be obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In every area of your life be holy. Because it is written, be holy, God says, for I am holy. You see, we ought to be pursuing God. If you're going to follow Jesus, my friend, the grace of God doesn't teach you to live licentiously. It doesn't teach you to follow the lusts of your heart. No, it teaches you to deny those things and to cultivate holiness with God. So in our private life, we need to cultivate holiness. For the Christian life can never be adequately lived in public if it's not first cultivated in private. We know that Jesus was he didn't take kindly to hypocrites, right? And God doesn't want us to practice the ways of a hypocrite. He wants us to cultivate in our private life the virtues God calls us to. The holiness in our time in the internet world, in whatever I digest in a book, whatever we look at or listen to on the radio, wherever we get our media, whatever it is, that is this something that pleases God? Is it something that honors God? For He tells us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. So we need to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. We need to follow Jesus, so not only giving heed to His direction, not only be serious-minded about life, live virtuously in private and in public, but fourthly, abide in His strength. Abide in His strength. I'm reminded of numerous passages of Scripture, but let me just say it this way. A real Christian life cannot be lived without Christ as your life. A real Christian life cannot be lived without Christ as your life. The Christian life is never to be lived without Christ. Without Christ, it's not an act. It's a life. And it's the life of Jesus being our life from day to day, helping us, His grace. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God wants us to abide in His strength. Jesus talked about the vine and the branches. In John 15 verse 4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. If we are going to be a fruit-bearing Christian, if we are going to follow Jesus, we need Jesus' help to follow Jesus. I mean, it's not self-determination. It's not the grit of your teeth. It's not your New Year's commitment, although we should be intentional and certainly diligent, yes. But we have to recognize our need to depend on Him to live the Christian life. And so it's a season to press on, not in our own strength, but following Jesus, looking to Jesus, looking unto Jesus. He is the source of the life, of the Christian life. Secondly, this morning, Main point number two, we need to press on in this season to press on. We need to press on anticipating his return. Anticipating his return. Look at the scripture here in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Verse 13, the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. You know who's coming back? The great God, the one, the true, the only, the living. Yes, the great God and our Savior. They're one and the same, you see. Jesus, this is just another testament to the fact that Jesus is God, a very God. The great God and our Savior is coming back again. That's the blessed hope. The blessed hope. Oh, yes, he's coming again. In John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Oh, to those Galilean men there that the Bible records in the book of Acts in chapter 1, who stood there gazing as the risen Savior ascended in the clouds back to heaven. And the angelic being said to them, why stand ye here, gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come. He shall so come in like manner. And he said numerous times in the last chapter of the Bible, I come quickly, I come quickly, behold, I come quickly, surely I come quickly. He said, absolutely, these words are true and faithful, I come quickly. My friend, he is coming again. He is coming again. The scoffers will scoff. People will forget his promises, but you and I need to go forward in this year counting on his promises. The promise that he will come again, but yes, many other promises he's given us in the meantime. Promises that we can depend on. 2,000 years ago, before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, it had been prophesied that he would come. Messiah would come. And he did. And he did. And most of the world didn't realize it when it happened. I'll tell you what, he's coming again. First of all, in the clouds for his own, in the rapture. And 7 years later, we will return with him as he will set up his millennial kingdom. These both are clearly prophesied in the scripture. They will happen. They will in his time. He's a God of his word. He's a God that the President of the United States cannot hinder. He's a God who can do his will and accomplish his will because he is almighty. And we can trust him in this day. In this present world, let us live godly. In this present world, let us be looking, pressing on and looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God. He warned us in the scripture in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. He said, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And he goes on to describe numerous aspects of what that will look like. But dangerous times, he said, in the last days will come dangerous times. I believe that we are definitely in those kind of times. Perilous times, dangers globally. Of the intensity of weather patterns, of even the intensity of the human condition, which is so depraved. Oh, friends, we can still trust God. We can hold to his promises, anticipating his return. How should we press forward in this year? Well, we should press forward following Jesus. And we should press forward anticipating his return. Counting on his promises. Attending to his instructions. Take your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, if you would. The Gospel of Luke. Let's look at chapter 12. Jesus told actually a couple of different parables leading up to this. Luke chapter 12. We'll look beginning with verse number 43. Luke 12, verse number 43, the Bible says, blessed is that servant. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And of whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Jesus is teaching. Jesus is giving warning and instruction. After talking about, flipping back here a little bit to verse 34, same chapter. Well, I'll back up to verse 33. The Bible says, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags that wax not old, treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. He's saying, invest in heaven. Invest in heaven. For there, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 35, let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. Be prepared. Be prepared. And he gives the example here of a wedding and then of a thief. First of a wedding, verse 36. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. They're waiting. They're expecting his coming. They have oil in their lamps. They're prepared. They're anticipating his approach. That when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him. What's that next word? Immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, notice it says blessed, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find, next word, watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, that's the Lord, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, this is at night, late at night, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Find them so. Find them how? Watching, ready, anticipating his return. Verse 39, in this know. Now we have another illustration. The illustration of a thief. A thief. Verse 39, in this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Now, Jesus is not a thief. He's not going to take anything that's not his. Oh, my friend, but he will come as a thief. It will come suddenly. It will come at a time unexpected. Verse 40, be ye therefore ready also. Here's the application Jesus makes. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? One who's been entrusted with something. That faithful and wise steward. Whom his Lord shall make ruler of his household, to give him their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find. Next two words. So doing. So doing. You see, in 2022, we need to be busy about our master's business. It is critical. It is important. To do his business, how can we be prepared for his coming if we're not doing his work, counting on his promise, but attending to his instructions? His instructions are essential for us to obey. If we are a wise servant of God, if we are a wise Christian, we will be doing his commands. And not just about, about don't do this and do that, but about the gospel and about spreading the light and the love and the hope of Jesus in this world. It's about training up, discipling young believers. It's about the work of the ministry to help people to grow in Christ, to help people who don't know Christ to find Him, attending to the work of God. This is God's, this is a wise thing for us to do today. That's what God tells us, to be ready. So doing, this is a blessed servant. Oh, my friend, we have been given much. Look over down here in verse 48. He that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Now, of course, this is a parable. I mean, the Lord is not looking to come and literally give us stripes. But my friend, there are some who at the judgment seat of Christ will suffer loss, yet so be saved by fire, as the Bible says, the refining fire. But you know what? We have been given much. This is the point I believe Jesus was getting at, is that we have been given much. Middle of verse 48, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. My friend, we have so much. We have the completed holy scriptures of God in our own language. We know how to read. We have so much. We need to embrace what he's given, because we are accountable for it. We are accountable for what he's commissioned us to do. We need to be counting on his promises, attending to his instructions, and expectant of his imminence. Expectant of his imminence. Will he find us so doing? Should he come in the night? Will he find us? You see, today is the day to serve God. Today is the day to live for Jesus. This year is the year to live for Jesus. We may never, ever see 2023. It just may never happen. I mean, on the earth it will happen, but we may never see it. We don't know how long we have. We don't know if we have this whole year. You don't have to be old to die. It doesn't have to be a certain year for Jesus to come. This could be the year. Will we live for him? Pressing on. Yes, following Jesus. Number two, anticipating his return. And number three, zealous of good works. Look at Titus, back over here in Titus and chapter 2. Zealous of good works. Titus 2, I'd like to look at verse 14. After looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says about him that he gave himself for us. Oh, we know that. We know that so vividly. Yes, he gave himself for us. For what purpose? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. Oh, praise God. One day, it will be completely, completely taken away. We will live in a perfect place where there is no sin. Oh, yes. But I'm thankful that the victory can be ours today over sin. For he's defeated sin and we can live in that victory. And so, it says that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And notice what it says, purify unto himself. Read it with me. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. What does God want you to be up to in 2022? He wants you to be, yes, following Jesus. Yes, anticipating his coming, so doing. But he wants you to be zealous of good works. Passionate of good works. You know, the Bible said about Jesus that he went about doing good. He went about doing good. Boy, isn't it time that you and I just simply made it our goal to go about doing good, to go about doing right. Yes, honest in our business. Yes, honest in our workplace. And just going about doing good, looking for the opportunities to bless others, to help others, to point others to Jesus. Jesus described it in Matthew 5 as being the light of the world. Yes, Jesus is the light of the world, yes, but he said, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Oh yes, as we reflect his glorious light, God wants us to light his light in this world. He said in verse 16 of Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, if you're shining the true light of Christ, it's not about, wow, look at that fine person there. No, it's about, wow, what a God that man, that woman serves. It brings glory to God. You see, when a Christian truly lives selflessly for Jesus, those good things that pour from that person's life bring honor to the Father. That's what it's about. It's not about, look at me. It's about, wow, what a God. What a God. Zealous of good works. That's what God calls us to. He gave his life. He paid the price to take you away from sin, to rid you of sin, so that you might be a unique person, peculiar, different than others. You know, if you're going to be light in this world, you have to be different than the darkness. You know what? As Jesus gave the example of salt as well, Matthew 5, verse 13, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. But he said this as well. He said, if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? I mean, do you salt salt? Do you say, well, this salt's not much good. Let's put some good salt on it. No, you don't salt salt. You throw salt away. You throw bad salt away. And that's what Jesus said here. He says, if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. If we're going to make a difference in this world, we have to be different than this world. And if we're following Jesus and anticipating his coming and zealous of good works, you will be different. If you're denying ungodly lusts, the worldly lusts, if you're denying ungodliness, you're going to be different than the others. Not different so that it's some pride thing of I'm better than you, but different in the sense that you're sold out to Jesus. And you, people can actually see in you that, hey, there is a Christian. That's how Christians got their first label, because it was like, there are real followers of Jesus. They are like Christ there in Antioch. And they were called their first Christians. Are we going to be zealous of good works? Zealous means to be passionate. Passionate. Is that your desire, your passion? Passionate about making a difference for Jesus. Purposeful in daily living and in life's direction. Purposeful. We can live for Jesus. We can be light and salt in this world. Let's live for Jesus in 2022. Let's press on following Jesus. Let's press on anticipating his return. Let's press on zealous of good works.